Welcome to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. This quarter's subject is education. And my guest today is former president of Southern Adventist University, Dr. Gordon Beetz. Dr. Beetz, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
We've got a really interesting subject this week. The subject is work and education, or the Christian and work. Very similar idea. Where do we get the idea that work has anything to do with education?
Well, education is supposed to prepare you for work. But as I used to tell students when they came to Southern Adventist University and visited with me in my office, I said I would ask them what their work is. And a lot of them didn't know what I was talking about. What do you mean what my work is? I'm preparing for work. I said, no, your work while you're here is education. And if you don't put in 8 hours a day on your work, you may not survive this educational experience. So work and education for them was to be educated. And of course, we believe in a lifetime of education, a lifetime of the work of education. It's not like you just go to school, you no longer are educated. It's continual education.
There's an interesting phrase here or statement in the lesson. Christians need to learn to work God's way. Rightly understood, one's life work is an avenue of ministry, an expression of one's relationship to the Lord. That's something that we're going to have to come back to again and again as we go through this lesson, that the work you do is an expression of your relationship with God. Go ahead.
Well, that specifically is why we change or in the process of changing at the school. You're not preparing for work. You're preparing for a lifetime vocation. Vocation is a much better word to use instead of work. Work in other languages comes from travail. You think of work as being bad, as being hard, as being painful. Vocation is a lifetime. You, as I also would tell freshmen, choose a vocation that you enjoy and you'll never work a day in your life. And I think that is what we really need to be thinking about, that it's a vocation of serving God and serving people.
You know, years ago, many people will wonder about this. They'll want us to mention this. It used to be very common on academy campuses and university campuses, Christian Adventist schools, that there was a work program. You'd work in the dairy, or you'd work in the mill or some such thing. And by so doing, you'd be able to pay for half your school bill. Or if you worked in the fields, that was part of the educational process. We've gotten away from that. Two questions. Three, maybe. One, is it a good thing that we got away from it? Two, why have we got away from it? And three, what would prevent us from getting back to that?
First, I would first respond by saying there are still significant work programs at all of our institutions. And there are ways that students can earn a significant portion of their tuition. Not as much as it used to be 50 to 75 years ago, where they would earn the entire way. But we always encourage students to work. And in fact, those who do work, we find get better grades and do a better job in their education. And part of the work experience at the university is the education process. All the faculty and staff that are working with students are taught that this is an opportunity for them to mentor the students and to teach them about getting to work on time, doing a good job, and all of that. So it's all part of the educational process. We've gotten away with it. Partially, undoubtedly, because of financial issues. There are some students that came to me when I was president and said, you know, I could work and then graduate in 6 years. If I don't work, I can graduate in 4 years. And after I graduate, I can make more money than if I was working. So I'm better off not to work and just go straight to get my education. I think that's a mistake, because I think working is part of the education that you do in a university environment.
God gave work to be a noble thing, didn't he? In the Garden of Eden, it's not that work was punishment for Adam, but that work would be part of that redemption process. Do you think we've got away from that? You touched on it a moment ago. Work, travail, you know, that's the in some languages, it really sounds a whole lot like that, the etymology of the word. Where did we get the idea that work was some kind of drudgery?
I want to read you a little bit out of this book that I wrote. The word used to describe the pain in giving birth to a child is she's in labor. The French word travail in Spanish also are translated work, and it comes from the Latin to torture or inflict suffering and agony. So that's not something to inspire very much. And I think that's somewhere where that comes from. There are people today who have jobs they don't like to be in and they want to leave. I recently retired and I miss the work. I don't miss some of the problems, but I miss some of the things that I was able to do with other people. And work needs to be that's why we use a different word. We use vocation. It needs to be a lifelong vocation.
I don't think the lesson touches on this. I'm very glad you did. What about retirement? I want to ask you from this perspective. You can go wherever you want, but I'll ask this. So you work, you retire, you stop working. If work is actually good for you, what does a retired individual do to fill that gap and to make sure that she or he is still doing work of some kind as far as it's meaningful?
Well, you just make sure that you don't stop working or you don't stop your vocation. And there are 100 ways to continue to be active. I know one person who retired who got up at the same time every day, put on their suit, went to a different room in the house, and continued working. They felt like they had to maintain that routine. I can't say that I exactly maintained that routine, but there's no question but that I continue my work. Because I remember my father when he retired. He was feeling a little bit at loose ends. He'd always been very active in the church and very involved and wasn't sure what to do. We finally convinced him to write a book about his life, and that was his work for a period of time. One of the things that is very important for people who are thinking about or moving in the direction of retirement is to prepare for it. Don't just suddenly quit and then sit on the porch all day, because you'll die much sooner than if you maintain an active vocational lifestyle.
And what you said is not anecdotal or sermonic. That's a truth. People die younger if they're not occupied. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Now, we're going to look at Tuesday, or is it Monday? Monday. What do the following texts teach us about work? The Bible speaks about work. I won't read them all, but I will read a couple. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, or knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. So evidently, God has given work to us for a good reason. It's part of, how would you explain its role in, even in discipleship, in growing in God's grace?
I think that we are to work to bless others and to bring our ministry, our vocation, our gifts to help other people. And when we do that, we're thinking outside of ourselves. It pulls us away from selfishness. And if that's our attitude about work, then it's part of our salvation to work.
So I want to ask you this question then. It's easy for me to see in my role, at It Is Written, how my work is a blessing to me. It's varied. It involves a lot of creativity, sharing the gospel. I get that. It's fun to come to work. You used to go to work every day on a college campus and lead a significant educational institution that was molding thousands of lives. So it was easy for you to get out of bed in the morning and say, I'm going to do something positive that I like. My work, I hope, is good for others. I believe it's good for others, but I know it's good for me. So now, let's say you're working at a fulfillment center, running around all day, earning, I don't know, $9 or $10 an hour, and your feet hurt, and your role is to make sure that somebody gets a package. Nothing wrong with that. Let's say you're working on a production line, an assembly line, and it's just the same old thing. You know, my job now is one thing, but when I was a kid, I worked in a meatworks pulling treated lamb and sheep pelts out of a solution of brine, an acid solution that would eat little holes in my fingers, all day long, all week long. So if you're serving in one role, you can see your job as being a blessing. I would like for you to speak to somebody who's having a hard time seeing their work as meaningful. I believe all work is meaningful, particularly if God gave that work to you. How do you convince yourself of that if you're in a job that you feel like is drudgery?
I used to tell this story at when I would talk to freshmen at Southern. If I left the campus for a couple of weeks to do fundraising or visitation or whatever, a few people might notice that I'm gone, but not too many. If the person who picked up the garbage left campus for a day, he was missed. He was serving in a way that was necessary, that provided a value to the university and to the ministry of the university. It's a little bit like the story of the man who was laying bricks at a great cathedral. And he was asked, "What are you doing?" And one man who was laying bricks said, "Well, I'm laying bricks." Another man was asked the same question. He was building a great cathedral. So we have to look beyond the immediate. When you're pulling sheep's things out of you need to be thinking about where those sheepskins are going. What are they going to be doing? How am I contributing to this business or this company? It, a little bit is that I suppose is reframing some of the work that you're doing and making sure you look beyond the immediate, what appears to be drudgery.
All work has value. Isn't it important to realize and remember that work is service? There's something noble about work. God has ordained that we work. Isn't it important that we remember the value, the God-given value in work?
And I would take a day each summer, most of the summers when I was president of the university, and work with the service department, cutting down trees, or work with the department where I was cleaning toilets and went around the campus making sure the toilets were clean, seeking to demonstrate that exact truth, that nobody is above any kind of work. And one of my jobs in retirement now is I usually am responsible for cleaning the dishes at home.
That was worked out very well.
Yeah.
Our subject is The Christian and Work. This is Sabbath School. My guest is Dr. Gordon Beetz, who wrote this book, Education. It is the companion book to this quarter's Sabbath School study. And you can get that from us at It Is Written. Visit itiswritten.shop. And of course, there are other places you can get it as well. We'll be back with more Sabbath School in just a moment. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you could visit us online at itiswritten.com. Welcome back to Sabbath School. Our guest is Dr. Gordon Beetz, the author of Education, the companion book to this quarter's Sabbath School lesson, and it is a good one. I mentioned before where you can get it, itiswritten.shop. And other fine places as well. This is a great read. It will be a blessing to you. It doesn't merely rehash the Sabbath School Quarterly. This is new. It's original content, and it would be a good book to have on your bookshelf. Dr. Beetz, we'll go to Tuesday, Work and Excellence. I'm reminded as I look at this, it asks us to scan five or six chapters, talking about the construction of the sanctuary. When you stop and think about it, Work plays a major role in the Bible. Noah built an ark. Many of the stories in the New Testament deal with people who were working the land. Here they built a sanctuary. Later on, there were temples that were built. This involved an enormous amount of work, which carried with it a great amount of dignity. What do we learn here as we look at the construction of the sanctuary? I'll read what is listed a little bit in the lesson. There are nearly 150 point-by-point instructions. It mentions how one article was built and there were seven steps that the craftsman needed to take. What do we glean from this? The construction of the sanctuary, there was work involved. What does it teach us?
I think particularly with all the detailed instructions that were given, the prime teaching is the importance of doing your work with excellence. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with excellence. If it's carrying out the garbage, if it's building, if it's constructing, if it's mowing the lawn, doing it with all your heart. I think every person who's listening is aware of people that they have seen that have a job that they don't like. And they immediately can tell from that person's relationship with them in a customer service perspective that this is just a boring job and I'm earning my money and that's all I need. But then you meet someone who is who loves their work and can show that by the relationship they build with the customers, and it's a totally different ballgame. So everything that we do needs to be done with excellence, and that, I think, is illustrated by the kind of work that was done to pitch this tabernacle tent in the desert.
I think there's a couple of reasons for that as well. If you are paying me to do a job, then the right thing to do is to do it with excellence, as good as I possibly can. There's another reason that believers ought to work with excellence, because everything about you speaks of your God. So how should we approach this? What do we think about this, where if you are working behind the checkout at a department store and you don't like your job, it's going to be seen on your countenance that you don't like what you're doing. But this must also be a reflection on your relationship with God, because you are a representative of God wherever you are and whatever you're doing, right?
Exactly right. And Jesus was a carpenter, right? Mm. And spent most of his time not teaching and preaching, but being a carpenter. And I would imagine that he had a great relationship with his customers. I think that we represent Jesus in everything that we do. When we're driving on the road and we have some road rage, I think that is making a statement about what kind of Christianity we've experienced. And I think that in our work, in the way we relate to the customers or to the people that we work with, it all is an example or a teaching about our relationship to God.
Wednesday is entitled Work and Spirituality. Galatians 5:25 is written down there for us. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. One's work and one's spirituality are inseparable. Christianity is not a garment that can be put on or taken off as one changes moods or passes through different phases of life. Instead, Christianity creates a new being who manifests himself or herself in every dimension of life, including work. There's a great story here about somebody who was impressed by what they saw at Florida Hospital, which is now, of course, Advent Health.
The same has happened at Southern Adventist University.
Yeah,
where
go ahead.
We have so many nurses in the Chattanooga area that work in our local hospitals. Many times I've been in the hospitals here visiting patients or otherwise, and people say, oh, anytime we have an opportunity, we'll hire that student from Southern Adventist University because of the quality work and because of the kind of relationships they develop with patients.
Yeah, isn't that a big deal? It speaks a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
It talks about the genuineness of, first, of someone's experience, and then secondly, speaks a lot to the training that they've received on campus.
But it's not just nurses and doctors and ministers and preachers and ministers and missionaries. It's every job that we have, no matter what the job is, it can be done in a way that communicates the love of God for people. And anytime you're working, you relate to people, and that can be part of your testimony, no matter what the job is that you're doing.
At the bottom of Wednesday, I think this is quite important. How do you manifest your own spirituality in the day-to-day tasks of your life? What kind of impression do you think that you make? Because in the end, you do make an impression. That's that question that we've been looking at there. To work is to witness. The way you carry on in the workplace speaks of your relationship with God. Okay, Thursday, work and stewardship. Let's talk about this, Dr. Beetz. Work as an expression of one's stewardship. When asked to comment on Christian stewardship, many confine their thoughts to the Christian's fiscal responsibility. Money is one thing, but it goes far beyond that.
And one of my problems in stewardship of my work was working too much, was focusing so much on my work or responsibilities that I would miss family or miss some other very important parts of the Christian life. And so there's a financial stewardship, but there's also the stewardship of our life as we relate to other people in our lives.
How do workaholics and those who tend to work too long, how does that person find the balance? There are some jobs that are very important, and it's not easy to just switch off. What advice would you give to somebody who's had some of the same challenges that you've had?
It's particularly not easy to switch off when you have one of these, which has been ringing while I've been sitting here. It's got to take a significant amount of self-discipline. You've got to know how to draw lines, create barriers between you and your work so you can have time with family and friends and community as well. So particularly I know when you're a minister, as I was for so many years, you didn't have any time off technically, but you simply had to draw a line around some things and take time off when you needed to.
You've seen it all by now. What have you seen happen as a result of people choosing not to take the time they should take off?
Yeah, well, their children pay a price. Their spouse pays a price. And that price generally results in burnout or separations have happened. It's a tragic result of not knowing how to balance one's work life.
I think what we do know is that if somebody doesn't take steps to balance their work life sooner, they're going to be forced to make some adjustments later. And not all of those adjustments are pleasant. Okay, at the bottom of Thursday, the Christian's work grows out of fellowship and work with God. Work is one way by which we can practice the presence of God. To compartmentalize our religious life, to limit God to one day, one hour, even just one area of living, is to reject the very presence of God in these areas. There'll be people who right now are saying, I've never even really thought how I can bring God into my work life. I'm on a production line. I work in a photography studio. I pump gas, I guess, if you live in Oregon. Whatever it is I do. How would you advise or suggest that somebody would look at bringing God into their work experience? It's not always appropriate for somebody on the job site to be an evangelist and preach to people who come by. But everybody can allow Jesus to be seen in her or his life as they are in the workplace. How would you advise that person?
Everyone should preach and sometimes use words. It's just the way that you relate to, live with other people, the joyful aspects that you experience in your life shared with other people. It is not about sharing a text necessarily. It is about developing that kind of human connection, that relationship with someone that can be transformative. I can recall as a pastor going door to door and to people that I didn't know at all, strangers, and maybe talking to them about doing a survey or something like that. And if you are a good listener and you're empathetic, in a very short period of time, I had people talking to me about things they hardly ever talked to their spouse about. I think that we just need to practice empathy and understanding and love, true love, to all of God's children.
Friday asks some interesting discussion questions. The second one is this: it is through work that we care for or nurture our families. How do you pass on a positive attitude to work, about work, to your families? How do you instill this value in your children? What would you say?
Well, you make sure that you don't focus so much on work that you forget your family. That's the first thing. Make sure that your work is not done to the exclusion of your families. Involve your families in your work, if not actually physically, certainly in conversations around the dinner table and discussing experiences and challenges and the kinds of things that you've done to have a vocation that brings value added to the people you work for, or to the company you work for, or to the organization. And I think the way we talk about work to our children determines how they are going to experience or how they're going to pursue work themselves.
Yeah, perhaps some of the expectations we place on kids. A lot of kids are lazy because they've been trained to be lazy, and you teach them young, they learn well, and that laziness carries on throughout the life. Perhaps one thing that I might want to ask you, this is the last question. If your work is to be a parent, not everybody has that opportunity, you could look at that like a job. I don't mean in any negative way. If a person were to look at parenting their kids like a job, they might ask themselves, where can I rise up? Where can I do better? Where can I put a little more in? Where can I ease up? That might be a way for people to focus on parenting from a slightly different viewpoint and see that as a divinely ordained, divinely given opportunity.
Absolutely. Very good perspective.
Yeah. Dr. Beetz, that's all we have time for this time around. This has been Sabbath School from It Is Written.